you coming down this morning. You know, I was thinking, as Brother Luis was preaching that little Sunday school message, Brother Branham emphasized, he even named a title of the sermon, Thirst. There's a thirst that's in us, and we long for that. But there's a calling up here that eventually meets that thirst, and it's a satisfying portion. It's life. It's Him. And I'm thankful that I've met the one, the eternal waters, that quenches that thirst. But you know, you gotta keep being thirsty. You have that overall, I'm not searching anymore, but I just need more of Him, more of Him, more of Him. Right. Feed me, Lord. Give me that fish on the fire, that meat. And that's why we come here this morning. And I pray that your desire, whatever it is, God will meet you in His word. Amen. Just turn one to another and shake each other's hand. And let's sing this chorus as Brother Collie comes for our Bible reading this morning. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine.
Need this morning, just pray that you will feed on the word that come forth, that God will bless you and strengthen you, for He's willing to give us more than we're willing to receive. We're going to read this morning from 1 Thessalonians verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being so kind unto us. Lord, grant to us, Lord, all things we have need of. Lord, you have died upon Calvary, Lord, that we might live upon this earth and have the understanding and walk forth and be strong. God, give us that which we have need of as we look around. Let us love one another with all of our hearts, Father. And if we see one with a need, Lord, let us pray, God, that you would give them strength, Lord, and lead into the place of understanding. We ask you for the words that come forth with Brother Wade this morning. Bless him, Lord, that he may bless us and that we would grow and be strong. God, guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. But of the time and the season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you.
For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night.
But when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape.
But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that they shall overtake you as a thief.
Ye are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness.
Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober.
For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night.
But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation.
For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also ye do. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Amen. Whether we are awake or asleep, we're going to live with him. Amen. What a promise. What a security. Amen. Brother Chris, would you come up and take up the offering? Appreciate all these brothers who are willing to help with the service. And just thank God we know he uses us in different ways. And we just thank him for that. Let's sing this chorus, Touching Jesus. We have a special this morning from Sister Christine, so we're going to ask if she'll get ready for it after this chorus. Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters, and your life will never be the
believe he's worthy this morning. I believe he is.
Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do. Is all creation groaning?
It is.
Is a new creation coming?
Such a powerful song, if you really think of it. That's where our identity lays, is in the Lamb. And I tell you, it's we know how life is. The devil just comes to us, and a lot of times through complexes, says, "You're nothing. Your self-worth is nothing." That's right, because it's all in him. He's a worthy one. I'm unworthy. You have a low self-esteem. You don't have the courage to get up and be used by God. He's a lion. That's where I'm identified in. Take that virtue of who you are in the Lamb and let it become a reality in your own life. You're prideful. You need to be more humble. He's a lamb. Take that in Christ and put it in your life and let that become a reality of Christ in you. Everything I am, I was, I will be, is in him. Amen. Our identity, he's the worthy one. And that's why we can be accepted in the beloved. Amen. Let's all stand this morning and let's sing the word of God, ever true. It's changing me, it's changing you. Sometimes, you know, I'm just going to be honest, I come to church and feel like sometimes I don't get anything. But I tell you this, I'm eating. That's the thing you got to do, is keep eating the word. Say, Lord, let it be unto me. And even if I'm listening and I walk out and I'm not sure what's being said, I guarantee you one day the Holy Spirit's going to quicken what's said to you, and you're going to bring it back to your remembrance. Like, I see it. I get it. And it was spoken that sermon. So don't think you're just here in vain. Everything's for a purpose. Unto his glory. Amen. Let's just sing it as our brother comes. Holy word, long preserved.
Good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Good to have all of you with me, with us today. And what a blessing to be here in the house of the Lord. I know you've already shook each other's hand, but do it one more time. While I get this computer woke up here. Yeah. God bless you all. Just keep shaking hands for a minute. Just keep. We need all the blessings we can get. Just bless you each one. There we go. Hey, God bless you, my brother. I got it up. I thought you did it back there. What's on there now, but it's not over there? Luis was out here, so he's probably messed it all up. Interpret that. Well, can somebody say boo devil? Ta-da. Getting closer. One of these days, absolutely. God was in Wi-Fi way before we were. 14. Yeah, or 4. That's good. We good. All righty, now we got it all fixed. But by way of announcement, just remember that Brother Manuel is in Ohio with a group up there, and he'll be traveling back home today. Remember, today we have 2 services, and we're going to eat between services. We're going to try to be finished at 12. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Okay, anyway. We'll try, I said, try. Like Brother Kidray Diggs says, I'm about to close. You just don't know when. But at 1:15, come back up here, percussions. We're going to have a little training session on how to use tambourines and get the beat right. So you're welcome. You're welcome to eat between services if you're going to stay for second service. Next Sunday will be 1 service. Brother Moses from the from Honduras, I don't know his last name, but he will be here next Sunday for 1 service. And then on the 31st, it'll be like today. We'll have 2 services. We'll try to work our way through the seals. And remember, the Wilsons will be here on the 13th and the 14th. We are going to have a bunch of people here because Brother Harris is coming. Some of his people are coming from his church, and some are coming from Brother Richards, and Brother Andre and his wife are coming. So we're going to have a tight group that weekend, but you know what? That's great. Good. Praise the Lord. All right. So now, but remember, next Sunday after service, next Sunday, we'll have a brief meeting with the deacons, trustees, ministers, board of directors about seeing what we can do about a building, because there's a few out today and you see we're full. So I don't want it to be inconvenient to any of us to come in and worship and have to worship with your elbows against your ribs, you know. So, but we thank God that he's given us a message, and he's given us a people to listen to that message. All right, because without the people, there is no message. Amen. That's why God said in the beginning, he said, let us make man our own image and our own likeness so they can have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air. He wanted communion with human beings. Amen. Amen. That's what he's doing now. And that's what we're going to do. We're not going to be angels floating around with wings and floating around on the cloud. No, we're going to be human beings, but we're going to be perfect. As Brother Luis said, this whole thing's going to be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. And we'll all be young again. What a youth camp we'll have. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get started here on the second seal. It'll be part 4. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the day you give us. We appreciate, Lord, the time that we have to spend with our brothers and sisters. Be with Brother Manuel, Lord, as he speaks there in Ohio, that you give him strength, Father. Bless the little bride around the world. Lord, be with the ones that are sick that couldn't be here, Father, the ones that are downtrodden. We know, Lord, this is a time of pressure. There's a lot of pressure, but, Lord, you said if we run into your pavilion, that you would take care of us. And Father, there's a place of refuge, and it's in your wonderful arms. And we are the bride of Jesus Christ, so we are very close to you, Lord. Let us have our relationship, let it be more intimate, Lord, than ever before, that we can speak to you lip to ear, and that we can hear from you, Father. Just speak to us today, Lord. Bless all the needs in the building. Forgive us of our sins and faults, Lord. Clear the slate today so that we can speak. You can speak through the people, through us, Lord, and the hearer can hear. And, Lord, I pray that everything will be done for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, the second seal, part 4. Thank all for praying for my teeth. We'll find out today if they fall out. But I did put some glue in it, so maybe I won't be like Jewel Forney and have to catch them. So anyway, getting old, folks, getting old. We have to have all these aids, hearing aids and all these other things. So Revelation 6, verse 3. We're trying to get out of this place before we all fall apart. Amen? And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. Now remember, the first seal was a white horse. This is another horse. Now remember, the horse in the Bible means a power. It's not a physical horse. It's a power. All right? And there was somebody sitting on it. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And we know what sword means in the Bible. It means word. Okay? He didn't have this sword going around. No, it was a word. That's what happened with Michael and Lucifer. They fought over the word of God. Amen? Wasn't with sticks and arrows and bows and all that stuff. No, it was the word. So it was a sword of the word. And the sword of the word is what's going to get us out of here. Amen. So you may be seated. Lord, that is blessed. Good to have Calvin's wife with us today. Get him sitting up here where he won't run out of here real fast. The Lord works in mysterious ways. Matthew 24, verse 6, so you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Now look, see that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. All right? Now, this is Jesus speaking in about AD 30, telling them the end wasn't near. Actually, it's 2,000 years later. But he wanted the people to understand that what he was saying was a prophecy of what was going to happen. All right? Jesus was prophesying. He was preaching. And he was prophesying, telling them there's one to come. He talks about the Holy Spirit, or the Comforter that's going to come. And I was listening to a minister the other day, and he made a good point. I think Brother Joe was talking about your memory. Your memory is like a computer. It even though you're unconscious, sometimes you're hearing things. But remember, the Scripture says, he said he would lead you, guide you into all truth, but he would bring to your remembrance whatsoever you have heard. So I'm going to depend on the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to depend on myself to remember everything that's going on. He said he would bring it up. Brother Khalid, he said he'd bring it back to us. And he would show it to us. He'll bring us out of that great file, and he'll bring it to our remembrance. And it may be a month from now, 2 months from now, 2 weeks from now. Listen, I can get up here and preach and not get much. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. And think you're a failure, and then all of a sudden somebody says, oh, God, that was the greatest sermon you ever preached. And I'm like, boy, I wasn't here. That was God doing it. But let's go back just for a few minutes, since we hadn't been preaching for a little while, back to the first seal. Now, the prophet of God said, look, so this time the spiritual woman, the bride of Christ, that started in the day of Pentecost with the early apostolic church, lost the same thing at Nicaea. So what's happening is that God has given us the Holy Spirit, and he's given us, according to Revelations 1, that he's given us seven church ages, he's given us seven stars, he's given us seven messengers. Amen. All right, and those messengers are men. They're not angels. They're men. They're men like Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley. And we believe that Elijah in the end times already come and give us the message that we have now, because it was to turn us back to that, and that's exactly what's happened. We have been turned back to the apostolic fathers. We're not sitting here just reciting a creed today. We're not sitting here listening from a headquarters today. The only headquarters we have is heaven. Amen. We don't have to join anything. You know, we don't have to fill a letter out, and we don't have to recite a creed. No. We have one law but love, and that's it. One book, the Bible, and that's it. And that's where we get our nourishment, as Brother Luis was saying today. Did a wonderful job, by the way. Wonderful job explaining what happens to a person when they're born again, that they have to go through those three stages of grace: justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? We believe that. It's not just recite a creed. It's not just shake somebody's hand. It's not any of that. It's the Word of God coming to your heart, your inward person. And he's going to burn the old you out and put the new him in, Now, it's not going to kill you. Still going to be who you are. But as I said before, Calvin and I have been friends for a long, long, long time, and he can remember the old me, and I can remember the old him. But God just took this and cleaned it up. The things I used to say, I don't say them no more. All right? The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. And it's not because of, it's not because I'm afraid I'm going to miss heaven. It's because I love the man that came to my heart one day. And he said, be mine. I thought of you before the foundation of the world. And remember, God can't change his mind. So if he ever thought of me and loved me one time, just a split second, Brother Eric, he can't unlove me. Now, there's a lot of things I give God a million reasons to not save me. But there was one time that I finally said, I've had enough. This is it. I'm done with this. This life is, Paul said, the life I now live. Well, the life I did live is miserable. It was a miserable life. Why? Because God was calling me from eternity. He was calling me from way past the foundation of the world. And he was calling me into my mind, but he was also calling me through this. Because this is the seed of God. Now, he explains that in Matthew. He says, the seed is the word of God. All right, so the word of God is planted in our heart. That's why we come to church. That's why we study our Bible. That's why we're praying more. Man, if you can ever buy that book, get that book, A Praying Life. Amen. I have been transformed by that book. And I have not been worth a flip praying. He has just opened my eyes that I just don't know how to pray. You say, well, Brother Wade, you've been a Christian for almost 30 years. Well, there's a lot of times that God can wake us up, you know, and tell us that, hey, you're not doing this right. And it may come from a book. It may come from somebody, a sermon. That's why we listen. That's why we read. That's why we study to show ourselves approved, the Bible says. The Bible didn't say for me to study yourself approved. It's for you to study and make yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because we know the word is truth. Everything else is a lie. Everything else is false. Everybody with me? All right? So God give us, in the end time, he gave us more of him. Okay? God doesn't change, but man changes. All right? So God doesn't change, and he's got a plan and a purpose and a way of doing things that we have to fit his plan, not he fit our plan. All right? Like I said before, there's many people in the world call on the name of Jesus, but they're either cursing or they don't know who they're talking to. Remember, Jesus said they'll say, Jesus, Jesus. They'll, have I not done this? Have I not cast out devils? Have I not done mighty miracles? Have I not preached the gospel? He said, yeah, you have. He said, but you never had an intimate relationship with me. You never knew me. That word K-N-E-W means relationship, intimate relationship, like Adam knew his wife Eve. All right, everybody with me? A lot of people know Jesus, but they don't want him as their Lord. We want him as our Lord. Because when he becomes our Lord, then he's perfect, we're not. But when he becomes our Lord, you think, as the Bible says, the Bible tells us that, what would a father that a son says, hey, I'm hungry, and give him a rock? Or says, I want something to eat, and I give him a scorpion. We got a heavenly father that's perfect. All right? So all we got to do is listen to him. If we listen to him, we're doing good. All right? Don't listen to me today, listen to him. If I tell you what the Bible says, listen to what that Bible says. All right? Because the Bible's always right. Faith's final resting place is in the word of God. No man can come, even the prophet in the end time that we know that God sent us one, according to Malachi 4, he was fallible as a human being, but God used him to be infallible in the word of God. Because a seer or a prophet is a mouthpiece of God. Okay? He just had the ability to get himself out of the way, just like Isaiah. What would Isaiah say if Isaiah came today and said, there's going to be a baby born, but there's going to be no sex involved? What would y'all say? vote him out. He's crazy. But you know what? That happened. God told him 400 or 500, 600 years before it ever happened. He told him that a virgin's going to conceive and bear a child. And I'm sure, as the prophet always illustrates, that Miss Isaiah went home with Isaiah and said, "What are you talking about? Them people are not going to believe you. It's never been that happened." He said, "No, I'm just saying what God told me." Now, and it did come to pass, right? So it was the word of God. A virgin did conceive and bear a child. So everybody with me? Just trying to lay a basis again and get to something. So we needed an infinite God to be close enough with us finite people to bring us a message to get us somewhere. All right? Because God's got a plan. Everything God plans come to pass. It's not going to be like me or you are going to draw a blueprint and tomorrow we change it. He doesn't change. He is unchangeable. He can't change. So the word of God can't change to fit your idea. The word of God is unchangeable. It is infallible. It cannot be changed. But remember, he gave us an opportunity to know what it says. And not be a part of a man, not be a part of a denomination or somebody that tells us this or that or the other. Because remember, I tell you, as I witness to people that don't even believe the truth, I witnessed to them, I said, look, God can't be this confused. God's got to be, he's perfect. Amen. So he can't have an idea over here in the Baptist church and have a different idea in the Methodist church and a different idea in the Pentecost church and a different idea in the Lutherans, and there's 13,000 different denominations. God is not that confused. God's got one church, one bride, and that's us. You got to believe that. You got to believe that it's you. You got to have faith that it's you. Everybody with me? So now when we come to Revelations, and that book has been disputed and looked at for years, but thank God that we see truth. And that God put everything in symbols so that it would hide it. Now, Jesus said this himself. So there was no other, he said that this said that this said. Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, that you have hid this from the eyes of the wise and prudent and revealed it to babes such as would learn." So what are we? We're babes. We're newborn babes, as Paul said, in Christ, but we got to grow up to where we can take strong meat, as Paul says, till we can get the deep things of God. So in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, we see that there was a happening called the opening of the seals. All right, something was sealed up. All right, in Revelation, chapter 5, we see that there was a book. And that book in Revelation 5 was closed, and there was nobody even worthy to look at it. Remember, Revelation 5? Revelation 5 tells us that scene in heaven was that no one was worthy. John was here on the earth, and John's looking up at the vision, and he says, "That one's not worthy, that one's not worthy, that one's not worthy," and he said, "I'm not worthy." Right? Because remember, John started crying. But there was an angel stepped forward and said, "Behold, let's change this scene. There's a man coming on the scene." You say, "How do you know that?" Because it was a lamb that had been slain, so he was bloody. And listen, lambs don't have hands. The Bible said he reached and grabbed the book. So we're looking at a symbol. We're not looking at a lamb standing there. We're looking at Jesus Christ. Because what did John say? John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." So there was that lamb bloody because he had went to Calvary and he was bleeding. But what did he do? He redeemed every man. Every man, woman, and child that ever was born again, he redeemed them at Calvary. He paid all the debt at Calvary. And so that bleeding, bloody lamb reached and grabbed the book of redemption, which is, there's only one book. But it was closed. And there was no way. Even John said, I can't see what's inside. He said, "I'm not even worthy to look at the outside." But one was. "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book." Amen. "And to reveal the seven seals thereof." Amen. And then we go over to Revelation 6, and that's where the seals open, where you got Revelation 6, 1, where there was a white horse, and he went out, and he was given a crown, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And remember, he had a bow in his hand. But now remember, that was not God. That was the devil. Because remember, if you've got two people in a spiritual scene, if there's two people, one's got to be God and one's got to be the devil. All right, everybody with me? One's got to be God. God's not two. God's not three. God is one. All right? Behold, O Israel, thy God is what? One God. All right? And Jesus was a manifestation of that God. He was God in human flesh. All right? He wasn't a different person. He was the same person, but he had immorphed or moved his form over to play an act into play. All right? Everybody with me? Because God can't die, but we had to have somebody to die that was able to open that book. And Sister Rebecca, it was Jesus. He's the one that opened that book. But now he didn't keep it. He sent it to the church. Because of Revelation 6, verse 1, John, the lion, the beast, said, John, come and see what's going to transpire. All right? And he saw symbols. He saw a white horse. He saw a man sitting on the horse. He saw a bow in the man's hand. He was holding it up, as we illustrate. He's holding it up. You know, he's wanting to do something with it. And then he was given a crown, and he started riding off. Well, we thought maybe that was the Holy Ghost because it was white. We thought maybe that was God on that horse, riding through the ages and shooting the arrows of love, as the prophet said. And it sounded good, but it wasn't the truth. Sure, it was a white horse. Sure, it was a man that had a bow. But if you'll notice, there was no arrows with that bow. So that means he was a bluff. Try to go hunting without, you can have a $10,000 bow, but no arrows, and it's just worthless. So that's what the devil is. He's worthless. He's a bluff. He does what? He spins his tail, T-A-I-L and T-A-L-E. Now, devil don't have a tail. Sorry, folks. He's a man just like we are. Not a man like we are, but he's an angel that looks like a human being. Everybody with me? Okay, he's not some red guy with horns and the tail with a fork on the end of it. No, the Bible says he was the most beautiful angel ever created by God. God said that. So that's what he is in. He's in beauty. He's in all these things. You see the worldly beauty and all that. That's what he's in. All right? But he's a deceiver. He cannot create. So he has to take what we have that God give us and pervert it. As Brother Luis was saying in the Bible study, or Sunday school, God said in Isaiah, all souls are mine. All right? God's the only creator. All right? So he created every soul on the face of the earth because Satan can't create. God has to bring that out of himself because God is life. Amen? God's the only one that's got life, right? But when he gives the soul to Adolf Hitler or whoever, let's just think of the worst thing, then Adolf Hitler then has a opportunity to be right. He has an opportunity to change his way, to have God come into his life and change him. But he decided not to do that because every one of us is on free moral agency. Right. All right? Even Cain was on free moral agency. Everybody had a chance to repent. That's the way God is. All right? He can't be a righteous judge if he does that. If he says, I'll pick you and I'll not pick you. I'll pick you, but I'm not going to pick you. That would make him unjust. Because he would be picking what he wanted. But he gave every one of us a choice. So at the white throne judgment, there's going to be people standing at that white throne judgment that's going to be judged by the works that they did. See, I believe the works of Christ, what he did now. And Christ is not going to ever, he stood judgment at Calvary for me. He stood judgment at Calvary for you. So I don't have to be there anymore. He's going to be the righteous judge. But how's he going to judge? He's going to judge by his people. The Bible said the saints will judge the earth. And that's us. We are the saints. So through us will be judgment, but what will it be? It will be judgment because we've taken the word of God and we judged ourselves. Today, if you're born again, you judged yourself righteous. I mean, I'm telling you what he said, okay? All right? You say, well, I got problems. I got this. I'm not talking about that. That's humanity. I'm talking about inside of the inside. When you woke up this morning, your body woke up and your spirit woke up. Your soul didn't go to sleep. That's why you think things while you're asleep, and that's why things go through your mind and you have dreams and all that stuff. You're still alive. Okay? But now when you wake up, then you start working into your human life. But as I said last week, we must start our prayer life early because that's what happens in the morning early. We get an attitude. Pray for me. If y'all don't have one, pray for me. And it controls the whole day. When we put our feet down in the morning, do we say, God, thank you for getting me up? Or do you say, Lord, this is going to be a bad day? No. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Because he created you to be what? A worshiper. So when your feet hit the floor, now don't forget, the devil don't sleep either. Okay? He's right there. He got here today before you got here, or some of you brought him here anyway. So, anyhow, and it was me because of my carnal mind. Our carnal mind is an enmity to God, and that's what we got to work on. That's why we do go to church. That's why we become the word as we receive the word. We become this word of God as we eat it. Because remember the old saying, you are what you eat. And that's exactly right. If you eat of the world, that's what you're going to manifest. If you eat of God and the things of God, your mind's going to be on God by praying, reading your Bible. Amen? The most powerful force man has got is prayer. Not a gun, not a nuclear weapon. It's the prayer. It's the prayers of the saints that go up to God. And the prayers of the saints is what God hears. He don't have secretaries. He hears every prayer. But he also knows a motive behind that prayer. If you're sincere, or if you just say, well, Lord, bless everybody and hope everybody lives through the day. Well, that's probably going to happen anyway. But be specific with your prayers. Be specific with your prayer life. Talk to God like he's your friend. That's what's going on with this book we're reading. You got to talk to him. This man says, he's talking about childlike faith. He said, how many times did Jesus say while he was on earth, if you don't act like a child, you're not getting in. You got to act like a child. You got to be like a child. It's many things that we got to. So what do we need to do? And this is one good thing, and then we'll get started here real quick. Well, anyway. But, you know, he said, look, he said, fathers are usually bigger than children, right? Donnie's a great big guy and tall guy, intimidating guy. But do you know when his son was a baby, it didn't scare him to go visit his dad. It didn't scare him to go run up and jump in his lap. So don't be scared that a big God is not going to want you to sit in his lap. If you have a childlike faith that, now see me, I'm not going to sit in your lap, okay? But you can intimidate me because you're bigger than me. But children don't include that in their childlike thinking. It's not height and weight and all this. It's that, that's my father. I'm going to my father and I'm going to embrace him. So that's what we need to do. We need not be scared to embrace the Father. Because we're the children of God, or we're either the children of devil. One of the two. Amen? Okay. And that's your choice. So now as we go to the seals, we see that the book was opened then in Revelation 6, verse 1, that the book was open and there was a person standing there that was saying, come and see. And John went to see and he saw these symbols. All right, and he saw the symbols of a white horse. He saw the symbols of a bow. He saw the symbols of a crown given. He saw the symbols of, as we're going to see in Revelation 6, 3, that power was given. Okay, now remember, Satan has no power. Brother Dale, many years ago, remember he preached on permitted power. My dad, years ago. Because only the power, there's only one power of God, and everything else is permitted. God permits Satan to do the things, to do what? To drive us back to God. The horrible things we go through, if you're a Christian today, the horrible things you go through is driving you back to God. I said, if you're a Christian today, and you see things the way you're supposed to see, that any trial and tribulation you're going through, God knew you'd have to go through it to get to a position of love with Him. All right? Everybody with me on that? Because we have to go through tests to have a testimony. That's the first letters in the word testimony is test. So we must have to go through a test so there'll be a testimony. And as I told you, the brother there in the camp was talking, he said, we have mentors. Everybody have a mentor? You have somebody you look up to, somebody that you can go to, somebody that you look up to. Well, you know why they're in that position? They went through trials before you did. Amen. Think about that. A mentor is not somebody that's squeaky white, nothing ever happened to him. Well, that means the guy never went through anything, or the sister. It doesn't matter, right? But they went through it so that you maybe down here, you're looking up and saying, man, he's so strong. You know why he's strong? Because he went through what you're fixing to go through. Or he went through some of the things that you're not going through, but it compares with the things you go through. Amen. Everybody all right? Amen. So a mentor is not a squeaky clean guy. He's been through a battle. But remember, he's prevailed. Amen. Just as God will prevail through me and you if you'll let him. If you'll let him. So now in Revelation 6, verse 1, there was a horse went out. There was a rider went out. And then God tells us through the prophet that it was a bow with no arrow, so it was a bluff, and the white horse was a white righteous church. And we see in the beginning at like AD 30 in different places, AD 60, when Paul became the minister to that church age, he was preaching the same thing Jesus was preaching when he was here on earth. All right, there was no catechism. It came straight from God. Right. There was message churches on every corner. All right, not Baptist and Methodist. That came later on when they started subdividing God. Everybody with me? Right. So we see now that was the work of the devil. The devil did those things, and God permitted the devil to do those things to what? To drive us back to God, because there has to be a contrast. Remember, Brother Chris Long preached years ago. He preached on a contrast. The war between God and Satan. Well, there's really not any war, but God lets the devil get a hold every once in a while to do what I said, to get a whipping and drive us back to God. All right? Because Satan will never prevail unless you let him. Okay? So now as that seal opens, it shows us one thing. It shows us a mystery that Paul tells us that it was a mystery of iniquity. And we covered that a few sermons about iniquity. What is iniquity? It's knowing to do better and you don't do it. Right. Or knowing not to do it and you do it anyway. So that has to be in the Christian realm, because the people out there in the world today that's not going to church, they got up this morning, they put their shorts and bikinis on and they went to the beach and they drinking their beer and they smoking their cigarettes and all that. Everybody with me? Right. Okay. But you got up this morning. Hopefully you prayed a prayer of faith. Hopefully you prayed for me. Hopefully you prayed to get here. Hopefully you prayed that God's going to give you something today. You put on your good clothes, and you got to church. Okay? Everybody with me? That's just as simple. That's why you got the two lives, because I used to live that one out there. Most of you did too. But Paul said, the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So now we got to the second part, the second seal. And let's start with it just for a few minutes. We looked at the symbols. Now, the symbols is what? Iniquity, the Antichrist spirit, Satan is trying to, and he did, not trying. Satan entered into religion. He entered into a realm with God. Oh, don't look at me cross-eyed. Listen, he can get an audience with God when we can't. He's always accusing us. So, Brother Danny, he's right there. He walks right up to God and says, hey, you made me. You made me. You told me I was beautiful. You told me I was the anointed cherub. God said, yes, I did. He said, but there was something found in your heart, and it was called iniquity. You know to do better. You know to do better. I created you. Look at the attitude a person has that I look at my creator and say, I don't want to be like you. I want to destroy you and be you. That's what Satan wants to do. He don't want to be like God. He wants to be God. And he is the God of this evil age. And I'm sorry, but you see politicians, everybody's now talking about God. God this and God that. Well, guess what? It is a God that they're worshiping. But it's not the God I know. It's a God of this evil age that's blinded our eyes to the truth. But thank God he's given us what? The eye salve to open our eyes to the truth. I want the truth. So the symbols were the Antichrist spirit that weaved its way into the church. And they started doing things they shouldn't do. Same way with me and you today. You and I do things we're not supposed to do. So iniquity, the Bible says iniquity, in the end time, iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. Why is it waxing cold? Because you're not doing what God said. Amen. You're knowing to do it and you don't, or you do it and you do something evil. Sorry, that's just the way it is. Right. But we see that God did justify a group of people during that first church age. He took a church age and he took the word of God when Paul and Irenaeus and different ones, he preached the word of God through Peter, James, all the different ones, John, they all preached the true word of God. But remember, as we keep going through the ages, then Satan starts eroding that and bringing in his own people and saying, well, I don't think that's right. I think Jesus was another substance of God because he cried. Well, let me give you a little example here. God cried. God cried. He cried in that human flesh. Okay? Because the Bible said Jesus wept. But you see how they formulate those things. They have this, I thought. Remember I told you when somebody walks up to me and said, I thought, I know right there that the conversation is going to the pots. I thought. No. What did the prophet tell us? We don't have a thought coming. Because every time we think of something contrary to the word of God, it's wrong. Thank you, Brother Donnie. It's wrong. But then God has a church that is innocent, that is faultless, that is guiltless. If you believe today that God Almighty has saved your soul and put himself inside of you, that's the new birth. The new birth is something that is not, it's not just I believe that God sent a prophet or I believe Jesus is Lord. Amen. Come on. Everybody with me? It's a walk. It's a life. It's a production of fruit. If you are of God, you produce the fruits of God. If you're of the devil, you produce the fruits of the devil. It's just plain as day. All right? So now, but being justified, Paul says, freely by accepting the grace that God give us to make us this way. Because you and I looking on this side of the chasm, we are not faultless. We are not guiltless. We're dying. But over here on this side where God sees everything positive, and if you were ever in the mind of God in the eternal part, as Brother Luis was talking about, in the mind of God, because see, the mind of God is eternal. But remember, he thought of Adolf Hitler, which is not eternal. Okay, they were thought of. But they were not in the eternal mind of God, in the Lamb's Book of Life. It was written before the foundation of the world, knowing that you would come to an acceptance of God. Yes. To an acceptance, number one, that you are a sinner. Amen. That you were born in sin. Your mom and daddy had an act that was, listen, it was permitted by God. But the way you came was not exactly the way God wanted us to come. He said multiply and replenish the earth way back in Genesis 1, and they were not in human flesh at that time. Everybody with me? It was to be the spoken word of God. That's what we're doing today. By the spoken word of God, this church is growing. By the spoken word of God, the bride is growing. All right?
Amen.
That's why, sadly, that preachers get involved with women. And they take it carnal and don't keep it spiritual. Everybody with me? I don't want to shock you with that, but that's, Brother Brown said, money, women, and popularity. Stay away from those things. Well, I got them all three good. Ain't very popular. I got one wife. And I don't have a whole lot of money. So we're good. I'll continue preaching now. But that's the truth, because you get this emotion that today I'm going to preach the seed word of God to you, and you're going to either take it in or kick it out. Right? You're either going to take it in and become impregnated by the word of God, or you're going to kick it out. All right? If that's too strong for you, I'm sorry, but that's why what happened in the garden is not an apple that was eaten. If it was, I'll pass out some apples. We'll go up to Jay Moore's and get a bunch of apples. Our biggest problem is you know what? So that's what happened in the garden, so that's what's happening now. But God, by the what? By the seed word of God, is bringing it back. Yes. To where the fall was produced by sex and by male and female getting together naturally. Now, spiritually, we're being born again by the seed word of God. And that's where we're heading to, is a new body. Right. All right?
Right?
That mama and daddy didn't produce.
Right.
Listen, you look left. Wait a minute. That's left.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Look that way. Now look that way. Everybody you looked at was born the exact same way. I don't care if he's born in a hospital or born out in the woods. He's all born the same way. All right? So that's what we've got to get rid of, is that carnal mind that Paul was talking about, that we need to have the mind of Christ, because the carnal mind is telling us, and listen, every morning you get out of the bed, it's telling you that you're dying. Feet, move. Hands, move. Please don't fall today. Well, some of you young people, you'll get there. Right, Brother Danny? Amen. So we're dying. But that soul inside of you is what God wants to work on. He wants to open his word. All right, I'm getting to the point here. He wants to open the word more than he's ever opened it to anybody else. Now, that don't make you special, but it does. Let God make you special. Didn't God say, if you'll take the back row, if you're a child of mine, I'll put you on the front row. But don't come up here on the, don't you come up here on the front row. Brother Daniel, bless your heart. I have to point at you because you're right there every time. But let God put us up to the front. Let God say, that's my child. Let God, listen, he's putting us on display. Through our sisters and through our brothers that are not doing the things of the world. And sure, we have mistakes, and sure, we do things wrong, but we're trying our best to be more godlike than the world, because the Bible says if you love the world and the things of the world, the love of the Father is not even in you, all right? So now we've repented. We have come now to where the seal's opened, where we see now the devil's tactics. We see what he's doing. He's trying to disrupt the plan of God, okay? The plan of God is to have a group of people, and here's a shocker, I know most of y'all know this, but we're not going to heaven to live.
Right.
Revelations 20 says that John saw the holy city coming down out of heaven and sit on this earth. This is where we're going to rule and reign, because you know what? Adam ruled and reigned the earth. And if we're going back, the second Adam's taking us back to the first Adam, where he fell and we're not going to fall, then we're going to be the ruler of this earth. But remember, we got to be the ruler of this earth first. This earth is what I'm worried about now. Everything else, because Adam was up here, Brother Donnie, he was the headship. He was the headship of the earth. God said, Adam, you control the earth. I got the heavens and all this other stuff. You're the God of the earth. Right? Because he told them, multiply, replenish. You read that in Genesis 1:26. All right? So if that was the fall, if we fell from that, okay, if I dropped this glass of water, I'd make a mess. If I dropped this glass of water and I picked up that violin, that's not restoring back. The glass of water has to come back up and sit right here where it's supposed to be because it fell. So we fell. We fell by deception. We fell by the lie of the devil. So what are we going to come back to? We're going to come back to the truth. The truth of God tells us what to do. Gives us the correct interpretation of what the Bible says. That we don't baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There's never one, no person ever been baptized until Nicaea. No one. Father's not a name. Son's not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. Jesus said, in the name. What is your name? His name is Lord Jesus Christ. Which the Bible says the whole family's named that. But it's a revelation. Because Peter can't say something different than Jesus. Jesus said, be baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Peter over here on the day of Pentecost said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They're saying the same thing. But the religion of the world says, we'll take this, you know, and not that. Well, you're dividing the Bible. But it was hid. It was hid from the wise and prudent and revealed to people that were really want to take on the name of God. Amen? Amen. Everybody with me? Amen. Let's skip through some of this. But look, in the sight of God, now we got to, are we going to look what the world says that we look like or what God says we look like? All right? In the sight of God, the bride is justified. Remember, the Bible says a virtuous bride, without spot, without wrinkle. Now, I'm telling you what he said. So, look, we've got to develop into that picture. That picture that he took before the foundation of the world has got to develop here. And developing here, it shows us that we're being turned back to what he saw before the foundation of the world. I am looking at a group of people that according to 1 Thessalonians, that said, we which are alive and remain shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound. Amen. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive, we which are alive and remain. Yeah, there's going to be a group of people that's going to destroy death standing right on their feet. It may get worse before it gets better. But I don't care. You know what? Jesus' worst hour was his most victorious hour. The world thought they'd got him. The devil thought they'd got him. They just absolutely fell right into his trap. Everybody with me? So we're justified. We never did it in the first place. That's what we've got to look at and quit getting beat on by the devil, telling us we're this and telling us we're not that. And that's what the seals do. The seals, when it opens up like a curtain. And you can see the whole plan of God. Because the plan of God come from the mind of God. But it was sealed up. Daniel 9, I read it to you before. Daniel sealed these things up. Men will run to and fro and knowledge will increase. But you seal it up because in the end time, I'm going to open the seal back up. And you're going to really see. Listen, you know what he's telling Daniel? Daniel, if I opened them today. Brother Darty, if I open them today, God said, Daniel, if I open them today, you wouldn't understand them. Christ hadn't come. There was no Holy Ghost. Right? But he said, you wait till the end time. I'm going to have a group of people that's going to get all that together. And I believe today that we have every person we need in their position. Every person in their position. Because remember, to have a play, we were watching last night, and if I have it online, you need to go watch it. It's from Brother Ron Spencer's church, Evening Light Tabernacle in Elkton, Virginia. But they put on a play. But everybody in that play had a part. They had to remember their lines. They had to know where to go. And they had to be there. Right. For a play to go on, you can study all your life. To put on a play and then don't show up? No, I was watching that and I was saying, God, that's what's going on now. There's a group of people that when that curtain pulls back, in other words, when these seals start opening to everybody, you're going to be able to see your position. You're going to be able to see that you're going to sit over here in this place, and this lady's going to sit over here, and this man's going to sit here, and this tree's going to be right here, and this so-and-so's going to be right here. And then you're going to look and say, hey, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is where I'm supposed to sit. This is my seat right here. I don't get this guy's seat because I don't know his lines. But I know my lines. When it comes to my turn, I'm going to speak my lines. So you and I today, we have come to the part of the play that, Brother Eric, I believe that this play is getting ready to be put on. Just for a moment, God's going to put this play on, and all the actors are going to be there. All the parts are going to be known. And then he's going to open up the curtain and display it to the world. Amen. We've had seven different acts of the play. Because every play, they'd have an act. You and we were watching it last night. They'd close the curtain. Well, you didn't know what was going on behind the scene until they opened the curtain again. So when he opened the curtain, though, they were in a different place. Or there was a different actor come in. But when the whole play was over, every actor came out. The curtain was pulled. Every actor came out. And do you know what they did? They gave their testimony of what God did to them. Wasn't scripted. Unscripted. 30 or so different young people got up and said, God saved my soul. God delivered me from alcohol. God delivered me from depression. God delivered me from fear. And almost all the actors told a testimony. Well, I said, oh, God, that's what it's going to be. We which are alive and remain, we're going to stand, and there's going to be a testimony. Amen. That you defeated, through Christ, you defeated the devil. You don't have to go through that devil. You don't have to listen to those demons. Let's stand to our feet. You don't have to listen to what he's got. It's all lies. Listen, if he's moving his mouth, he's lying. Satan is defeated. If you'll just say, Satan, flee. Isn't that kind of tough? That's kind of tough. You know, the Bible says resist the devil and he will what? Oh, no, we got to get our swords out and we got to get our hands right and we got to get no. Use that authority. That's what the seals have opened to do. Is the seals have opened in Revelation 6. We'll get to the second one this afternoon. But that gives us authority. That gives us authority that nobody has seen in the whole world. That she can have, thus saith the Lord. That somebody can say, mountain be moved. That somebody can say, sick be healed. That somebody can say, bring life. We've seen the dead raised. We've seen cancer completely eradicated. Just by the prayer of the saints. We've seen things that were lost come back. Amen. My dad was standing here one day. Somebody stole Brother Collie's gun. This has been a long time ago. Right, Brother Collie? Brother Collie's sitting here. Dad was preaching away, and he stopped, and he said, Brother Collie, he said, you'll have your gun back. He said, in 3 days, that gun's going to reappear. Brother Collie went home. There was a boy sitting on his porch with a gun in his lap. And he said, I am so sorry I stole this from you and gave it back to him. Just what the Word of God said was going to happen. And that's just one of many things that's happened. Because I believe that the Word of God has been opened, that we can enter into the mind of God. And that we can get all the benefits. And every one of you's got a testimony of what God's done. Just in this little group right here. Cancer. Man eat up with cancer. 3 months to live. He hunted with us. He was a good guy. Man, we loved him. He'd take us everywhere. But he said, boys, he said, I won't be around for the next hunt. We said, why, Terry? He said, I've been diagnosed with advanced prostate cancer. And he said, they'd give me 3 months to live. He said, the doctor told me to go on this hunt and enjoy yourself. You got 3 months. That ain't nothing to God. That's just a bluff. Because my dad had a prayer cloth in his pocket. He said, wait, come over here. He pulled that prayer cloth out. He said, Terry, he said, this prayer cloth is instituted by the Bible in Acts 19, where they took cloths off of Paul. They thought so much of Paul's faith. That's why we have prayer cloths. That's why we've got them. We've got them every door. You see right over there? They're all over this place. They're at my house. They're in my car. Anywhere we go, we put a prayer cloth. But Dad said, Terry said, you know what this is? And he kind of had to explain to him a little bit about it. So he took that prayer cloth, and Daddy said, I'll see you at the next hunt. Yep. 6 months later, this was in March. 6 months later, it was hit like October. So we head over there. There's Terry. He'd already called us. He said, Columbia, South Carolina Hospital does not know what happened. He said, I don't have no cancer no more. He said, they're giving me hormone treatments just because they think I might still have it. He lived 9 years, went on a hunt in Alaska, climbed mountains, hunted with us for 9 years. He finally passed away. Because remember, healing is temporary. But he sure didn't pass away 3 months after he was supposed to. He said he laid my file, and he opened up a file. He said, this is what we saw, and this is what we see now. And there was tumors. He was tumored all in his groin. That was how bad it was. Over here, nothing. He said, they don't know. He said, but I told them. He said, I know a man that does know. And he wasn't a message believer either. He was a fine guy. But he was good to the bride. But we've seen that happen many, many times, have we not? Brother Boyd, we know. Brother Boyd, different ones. We know God moves. But he moves because of his word. He doesn't move just because. No, you got to accept his word. Accept what he said. Accept what he's already done at Calvary. He healed everybody at Calvary. We just got to accept that healing. We got to accept that grace that he gave us. All right, let's sing a song. It's 12:05. We'll get started again this afternoon. And I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. He's still in the healing business if you need it today. You don't even have to come up here. You just raise your hand and say, God, I need your healing hand.
I lift my voice.
no greater love. Downstairs there'll be sandwiches for if you're staying. Eat all you want. Then we'll come back here at 3 o'clock and have our next service. We appreciate all of you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Just take the gift of eternal life with you and give it to somebody else, because you can't lose it, but you sure can't give it out, and you can't exhaust it. You keep giving it, God gives you more. You keep giving it, God gives you more. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this meal that you give us here, Lord. Now I pray that you sanctify the food that we're about to partake of downstairs, Lord. And that you'll be with us, Lord, as we've got different things we got to do today, Lord. That you'll be with us. Be with us in the service, Lord, at 1:15 of learning more how to worship you, Lord. Lord, may we come back together at 3 o'clock, Lord, and we'll hear from you, Father. May your blessings be upon the people. Forgive us of our sins. There are many mistakes that we make, Lord, as we go out and fellowship for a few hours, Lord, and come back here, Father. I pray that you bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Oh, and there's a river of life flowing out from me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see.
Behold.